Let's pray. Father, what a comfort it is to know that you are our almighty and tender Heavenly Father. We thank you for the opportunity we're about to have to hear words from your prophet Isaiah from so long ago. And though we aren't in Babylon, that Babylon, these words speak to us too. And help us this morning as we consider your word and this amazing doctrine of the providence of God. Help us to see you clearly, to trust you, to be reminded that all things come from your fatherly hand. Superintend this time and feed your sheep. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to read the entire chapter of Isaiah 40 this morning. It's a long one. We're not going to get into every word here, but I want to read the whole chapter because from first to last, this chapter is such an amazing comfort to God's people. And as you know, as we're about to hear again, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So hear now from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God stands forever. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the paths of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compares with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, before we begin, I'm also going to read from our catechism. If you want to follow along, you can turn in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal to Lord's Day 10, but I'm going to just read both questions and answers. I know this isn't always your practice, but I want to also have these words in our mind. This is, in my opinion, one of the best Lord's Day of the whole catechism. Now, we're taking a step back a little bit from where Reverend Godfrey resumed last week, but these questions and answers, where we see both God's amazing power and his amazing love, are good for us. I was already planning to be here this Lord's Day before some of the awful events this week, but I hope these words will refresh and remind us again of God's providential care. I'm just going to read both questions and answers. First question 27, what do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. How does this knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Well, we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. This morning, we have the privilege to talk about one of the most basic aspects of belief in God, the providence of God, that, as the catechism we just heard puts it, God upholds and rules all things. God is in control. And we need this reminder over and over again because the world feels out of control. Our own family has had a rough year or two in many ways. We've spent lots of time the past couple of years in the hospital or visiting friends and family in hospitals. All sorts of life plans have changed. It's not just our family, our church family back home. We spent lots of time weeping and praying and celebrating. I'm sure the same is true for all of you. Maybe you, like me, were shocked by some of the things that happened this week or remembered awful things that happened 24 years ago this week. So we confess that God upholds and rules all things, but so much of the world feels out of control. I wonder if you noticed something interesting about both things we just read, both Isaiah chapter 40 and the Catechism. Neither of these texts ask or answer what is probably the most common question about providence. The question that you and I, I'm certain, have asked more than once, maybe even this week. Why? Why do these bad things happen? Why was a young man murdered? Why did those towers fall? Why was there another shooting? Why all these terrible things? It's not just out there in the news. It's back home. It's all of us. I'll make it personal. Why was my son born with a heart defect that needed surgery last year? I don't know why. There's lots of things that we could say to answer these questions, but lest I play the role of Job's advisors, I'm not going to try. And God, through Isaiah, doesn't answer that question here in our text, and neither do the authors of the catechism, because I think they're answering an even more important question. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you who. To whom do we go when we face trials and tribulations in this life? From whom do all those things come? So though the world feels out of control, we as Christians have an immovable foundation. The world does not have this. We have this. We're rooted and grounded in this hope and certainty that our Heavenly Father, the Almighty One, is in control. And because we belong to Him through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have access to that Almighty One who is in control of all things. What an amazing assurance to get us through the trials and tribulations of this life. So this morning we're going to be looking at the providence of God, this basic idea. We're going to look at it in 3 points. First, we'll look at the providence of God. We'll talk about what that means. Second, we'll look at the power of God, the Almighty One, and how God reveals Himself to us in Isaiah chapter 40. And then finally, we'll look at how this Almighty God is also our loving Father and the comfort that gives us as the world seems to fall apart. So let's begin by considering this doctrine as explained in our catechism. Our first point is the providence of God. The providence of God. To do that, we should consider where this question and answer is placed in the Heidelberg Catechism. We're in the second section of the catechism, the grace section. Perhaps you know that a large part of this part of the catechism is dedicated to an exposition of the Apostles' Creed, which we just recited. That's questions 24 through 58. And it all follows from the question, what must you believe as a Christian? And so we find ourselves right in the beginning of that, in questions 27 and 28, right at the beginning of the exposition of the Apostles' Creed, under the heading, as it were, of I believe in God. But I wonder if it strikes you like it struck me not too long ago. Why does the catechism mention providence? Yes, of course, it's a basic aspect of our belief in God, but remember the first phrase of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The creed mentions that God is our creator, He's our maker. It mentions that He is almighty, but there's no explicit mention of providence. The same thing struck me a couple years ago. I had to memorize portions of the Westminster Shorter Catechism for a class, and there it's a little bit more explicit. Question 8 of the Westminster Catechism asks, how does God execute His decrees? The answer is, God executes His decrees in the works of creation and providence. Now, I'd read and studied the catechism before that class, but as I memorized and wrestled with that question, how can you give such a basic question to, or answer to such an expansive question? There's a lot we could say to the question, how does God execute His decrees? But the catechism there only lists those two things. Even the larger catechism only lists those two. But as I wrestled and thought about it and meditated on God's word, I came to appreciate that even more. God created all that was and is or ever will be, and then being the God that we see revealed in Scripture and not the God of, say, the deists, He preserves what He created. I wonder if you've ever heard of deism. It's not exactly a popular worldview today, though it was a few hundred years ago during the time of the American Revolution. The basic idea of deism can be illustrated with the analogy of the watchmaker. God, according to the deists, is like a watchmaker. He designs the watch, He makes it, He winds it up, and then He just lets it go. So the deist might say God executes His decrees by creating the world and then hoping things turn out okay. That's not the God of Scripture, obviously. That's not the true God that we see revealed in Scripture. And so both the Westminster Catechism and our Heidelberg Catechism see the essential link between God as our creator and God as the preserver and sustainer and ruler of His creation. So question 26 of our catechism looked at God as our creator, discusses that directly, which then naturally flows here in question 27 to God's preservation and ruling of His creation. God, our God, is not an absent mechanic. He's a loving Father, and He upholds heaven and earth and all creatures as with His hand, and He rules them, He rules us. Things aren't left to chance. There's really no such thing as luck. God upholds and rules all of His creation. He created it, and He sustains it. Now, this is such a basic aspect of God, it does surprise me that this idea has become controversial and has been so throughout history, but even in the church. It makes sense that the deist wouldn't like what I'm saying, but even in the mainstream, the church, the idea of providence has fallen on hard times. It's almost as if it's become a distinctive of being reformed, and I don't understand this. Why do we pray if God does not actually uphold and rule his creation? And in the places where people still even mention providence, it's been greatly neutered. Consider this definition of providence. Providence as God's intervention in the universe. Not his upholding, his ruling, his intervention. It actually sounds a lot like deism. One of those deists said a few hundred years ago, like a watchmaker, God is forced to intervene in the universe and tinker with the mechanism from time to time to ensure that it continues operating in good working order. So that's the popular idea of providence. But why? Why would people want to think such a thing about God? What is so hard about what we see here in the catechism? What is so hard about what we see in the scriptures? I'm certain you know. It's not hard to guess. It's what we began discussing. Providence is not a hard pill to swallow if you believe in something as unbiblical and unrealistic as the prosperity gospel. That God wants you to be happy and healthy and wealthy always. If the catechism said only leaf and rain and fruitful years and health and prosperity comes from God's hand, well, that's easy. Sign me up for that. But that's not what our life is like. Not too long ago, our pastor was going through Romans 1, and it struck me, the world suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. But you know what I've never heard somebody deny? The existence of pain and suffering, of death, of sickness, of trauma and tragedy, of abuse and neglect. There's no escaping the realities of the fallen world in which we live. So how are we as Christians going to reconcile this with our inevitable and inescapable knowledge of an almighty God? Will we do what the world and sadly so much of the church does by neutering our conception of providence, by reducing it to intervention, or are we really going to say that drought and lean years and sickness and poverty come from God? This brings us to our second point, and to Isaiah chapter 40, the providence of God Almighty. Isaiah 40 is addressed to people in distress. It's addressed to his people in distress and pain and in tragic and terrible circumstances, crying out for help and deliverance. Think about your own times of distress. I think of when we heard that my son needed surgery. Think of when you were abused or neglected. When you experienced the death of a loved one or the illness of someone you know. Think of when your life plans fell apart, the shocking news this week, or what happened 24 years ago this week. In those moments, every one of us cries out for help and deliverance. But to whom do you cry, brother or sister? To a politician? To an idol? Do you cry out to the universe, to the void? How tragic is it when even God's people are not satisfied to wait upon the Lord, who think they can get immediate help by going elsewhere? That's what Israel and Judah had done. They wanted the immediate solution. They wanted the earthly solution. Can you find someone wiser than God? Is there any creature wiser than God or anyone more powerful? It's certainly no king or president or prime minister or congressman or judge or governor or mayor or any servant. Listen to what Isaiah says in verse 15. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing in emptiness. What a message we need to hear today. The rhetoric, the media, the politics, the evil, and the murder, and the hatred, and everything as sensationalized as possible. Everyone seeming to forget or deny that our Lord Jesus rules over all things right now. Make no mistake, our nations, our president, our leaders, they wield true power. They can bring great benefit, and they can cause great destruction. But even that is accounted by God as less than nothing and emptiness. God created all that is, and it was nothing for him to do so. And the same creator brings about all things. He's not a dumb idol, something from gold or silver or wood that you have made, or the man that you listen to on the TV, or that you look to bring you your help. Those things can't save you. They can't deliver you, but Almighty God can. He's the one who made you. So to whom will you compare him, that he should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. And so, brothers and sisters, we cry out to the Almighty, to the Creator of the universe, one greater than princes and idols and any man or creature. This is our God, the Almighty God, the Creator and Sustainer. There's no one like him. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span? Who has enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? God created all things and he sustains them. It's God who has counseled and decreed and makes all things come to pass. He consulted no one, it goes on. No one taught God. No one knows better than him. He's the Almighty. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The creator does not abandon his creation. Nothing happens by chance or without God's permission or decree. He's the creator and continues to sustain what he has made. He's not tired, he's not confused, he's not unaware. So is the providence of God merely an occasional intervention? Or do we say only good things come from God? Or are we going to say that drought and lean years and sickness and poverty come from God? Well, read this passage and answer me. If not God, then from whom? Is there anyone or anything else that could bring these things, that could overpower or overcome him who sits above the circle of the earth, who could sneak in and wreak havoc in spite of the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Can a plane or a bullet slip past his control? Of course not. There is no one and no thing apart from his control. Now, dear friends, I recognize there is a lot going on here. I am not trying to say this is easy or this is tidy. As if you come to me in your deepest distress, you tell me of horrible things that have happened to you or maybe are happening to you right now. And I just tell you God is in control, I pat you on the head and say, everything's fine. As if that brute fact can resolve your pain and anguish. This doesn't even answer all the questions we have about God's decree and providential control and also the existence of evil. Many sermons and books, many words have been spoken, much ink has been spilled in addressing those questions. Who am I to think I could answer every objection if I tried? But that's not my point today. The point today, brother or sister, in pain and distress, is to tell you that the one to whom you cry is the God of the universe. He's the Almighty One. He is able to help you, but more importantly, he desires to help you. Because he is not just the great and mighty one. He is not just almighty. He is your Father, the Almighty One. And so our third point, the providence of God, our Almighty Father. All this talk of God's power is not meant to scare us, his people. The theologian and author J.I. Packer put it this way, to know that nothing happens in God's world apart from God's will may frighten the godless, but it stabilizes the saints. Remember how our text began, Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. God doesn't tell us this to scare us. He doesn't reveal his power merely to terrify us, though we must fear such an awesome God. This fear doesn't cause us to shrink back in terror because it's our Heavenly Father who is speaking. And even though he doesn't promise the end of our troubles, he provides what we need. Verse 9 says, go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. Dear friends, God, through his prophet, is speaking about his Son. This is a description of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like what just came before it in verse 6 is a description of John the Baptist, whom God sent to prepare the way for our Lord. Our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son to deliver us from our sin and to be with us until we are delivered at the end of this last age. Brother or sister, I am certain that you have had difficulty in this life, maybe even now. But this is not because God is unable to stop those things from happening. It's not because God is unable to deliver you. God is able to deliver you, but even more, He's able and willing to tend His flock like a shepherd. He gathers His lambs in His arms. He carries us in His bosom, and He gently leads those that are with young. God, our God, loves His people and cares for us. And He sent His own Son to be our shepherd, to care for and to carry us through the trials and tribulations of this life. And I need to tell you, God is our Father, but He is a Father that is better than even the best of our earthly fathers. I think about that a lot as I fail as a dad. Our Father is not like me. He's not one who fails and hurts and messes up and loses His temper, or He's not like fathers who do or have done far worse. Please do not let the imperfections or the sin or even the horrors of your own father to rob this message of its power and its comfort. He is that true and perfect Heavenly Father. So we can cry out to Him and ask why. I won't tell you that you can expect an answer from the heavens for your specific situation, but we cry out to our Heavenly Father because there's no one better to answer us in our deepest distress and anguish. Who else would we cry to? Who else but the one who promises to care for us? Who else but our Father? The Father, may I remind you, of our older brother and Lord, Jesus. Again, our Father gave His only begotten Son that we might be reconciled to Him, so that one day we might be set free from these bodies of death. Think of that dark day on Calvary. Is there any greater tragedy in the history of the world than that death, than that assassination? The Creator of the universe became man and was crucified at the hands of those whom He spoke into existence. No greater evil has ever been done, and our Lord Jesus, He Himself asked why. He cried out on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken me? It's one of the few whys I can tell you with certainty the answer to. It was so that you and I might not be forsaken. Children, do you believe in this Lord Jesus? You hear of Him often. Do you look to Him alone? Friends or visitors, those who are outside of Christ, do you hear this message? The greatest evil in all of history was not an accident. In fact, it was God's plan and purpose from before the world began. Our Almighty God, whose understanding is unsearchable, decreed even the death of His Son so that we might be reconciled to Him. Our Lord died for us according to the will of His and our Father. If you are outside of Christ even now, then repent and believe in Him. Be reconciled to God through Jesus and be granted access through Him to our Father, to the one who is in control of all things, so that when you cry out to the Almighty in your time of distress, you'll be heard. The end of this chapter is amazing. I'm sure you all know it. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Even young men shall be exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We will have occasion to grow weary. There will be times that try us and would cause us to faint, that would drag us down to the earth rather than flying up in the air like eagles if we stood on our own. But we're not on our own. Beloved, are you patient in adversity? I hope so, because you know adversity has come from your Father's hand. Maybe we don't know why in every detail. I don't know why all these things happen, but I do know it comes from my Father's hand. So we can be patient and wait on the Lord. And are you thankful in prosperity? Thank God, not all we have in life is so difficult. God in his kindness gives us so much good to enjoy. But then we look to the future, we know that none of us are promised even another breath, let alone another day or week or year. We might be separated from one another. Families may be torn apart. Friends might be separated by great distances. But we can never be separated from our faithful God and Father, because we are united through the Son of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. When a Christian says God is his creator and sustainer, we mean so much more than what we've already said. We mean that all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. It's not just that he sustains his creation. He keeps my matter together, provides what I need physically. Praise God, he does that. But he does even more for us. He carries us through all the trials and tribulations of this life. He carries us like lambs in his arms. We'll be singing in a few moments one of my favorite hymns, It's Well With My Soul, written by a man in grief over being separated from his wife and children who died at sea. It was well with his soul, not because of anything going on in his life at that moment, but because he knew that his faithful God and Father was with him. He knew that nothing could separate him from Christ. Nothing could cause the Holy Spirit to leave him, because he knew he was so completely in his hand that without God's will, he could neither move nor be moved. So the world feels like it's falling apart, but God is in control. I hope those words don't feel empty to you when you are in great distress, and I know that each and every one of you will be in great distress at some point. And I'll wager in that moment you'll want to know why such a horrible thing is happening to you. But I hope in that moment one of your brothers and sisters will be here with you. But not to tell you why, I'm pretty sure they won't know why. But they will know then, as we do right now, the one who has brought these things. The one who brings all things to pass. The good and the bad. Rain and drought. Fruitful and lean years. Health and sickness. Prosperity and poverty. Life and death. And in that moment, they can remind you that you are in his hand, in the hand of the God who created and then upholds and rules his creation. But not just that. In the hands of the God of providence, who is truly able to aid when you need, because he is mighty, he is omnipotent, he is the all-powerful creator and sustainer of all. But not even just that. That you are in the hands of that almighty and powerful God who is also our heavenly Father and who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die and rise again for us so that we too can be his sons and daughters. Put your hope in him. Pray to him. If you haven't yet, repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be reconciled to him. Cry out to God, your creator and sustainer. You may not receive all the answers, but he will renew your strength as you continue to fight and to feel pain and to suffer. He will lift you up. He will sustain you and uphold you, because he is the one who has brought all these things to you. Not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love and your care for us. We thank you for all the things which you bring about in our lives, both the joyful ones and the thankful ones. Lord, we want our Savior to return and to free us from these bodies of death, and we ask that you come quickly. But until that day, or until you bring us home sooner, we ask that you would help us to be patient in adversity, to be thankful in prosperity, and to never forget that we are yours and that nothing can separate us from your love. What an amazing blessing for those of us who are in Christ. So let all praise and all glory be to you for seeing us through. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.